This is WHYY's Morning Edition. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Lynn. It's now more than a month since homeless residents began setting up tents on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway as part housing solution and part housing protest. The residents are negotiating with city officials over permanent housing demands. WHYY's Susan Phillips reports the encampment continues to grow while the city and surrounding neighbors want it dismantled.
The tents began appearing along the edge of a city ballpark in early June. In a typical summer, the park would be busy with kids playing t-ball, softball, and baseball. Tourists would be flocking to the Barnes Museum across the street. The Philadelphia Museum of Art is within sight, just a couple blocks away. But COVID-19 kept the kids and the tourists home.
Yeah, they're cleaning today. They're coming today. Use your mind before you know what you need.
Inspired in part by the nationwide protests for racial justice, the camp is now a small village.
Right here, as you see, this is the supplies tent. We have two supplies tents, actually. I have a team. They organize. They write the inventory, whatever we get.
A loud generator delivers power to the site. Like everything here, it was donated by an individual or organization.
See, we keep it safely kept.
Tanya Scott is an activist and volunteer at the camp. While some people doze in their tents on a hot afternoon, others are busy working.
Right here, we have the laundry tent.
Signs encourage hand washing and mask wearing. There's a library, porta potties, hand washing stations, and even a makeshift shower that uses a gravity-fed tank of water, heated by the sun. In a large tent, some residents are cooking.
The medical station right here.
Scott says, for the most part, it's peaceful.
We might have situations from time to time, but what family doesn't?
She says many residents are in need of mental health services. There was a stabbing at the camp last week.
They need some type of specialist to come out there and be able to help.
Several groups, including the Black and Brown Workers Cooperative and the Workers Revolutionary Collective, helped organize the residents. But the groups shy away from claiming any permanent leadership role. They cite a long history of social justice movements creating self-sufficient encampments like this one. The residents have come up with a list of demands, including disbanding the police department. At least one resident, who didn't want to give her name, disagrees.
It's not even educated. Does it sound like it's educated?
They also want the Philadelphia Housing Authority to transfer all vacant properties to a community land trust. City officials moved several dozen people to hotels set up to house those vulnerable to COVID-19. And officials agree with at least one demand, building tiny houses. One-story, one-room structures where residents have privacy but share common kitchen and bathroom facilities. It's a successful model used in Seattle. Liz Hirsch is Philadelphia's Director of Homeless Services.
We want to hear what they have to say, and we want to be in dialogue with them and see what we can do. You know, this can't go on indefinitely, but at this point in time, we really do want to see where we can work together to improve the lives of the people who are there.
Hirsch says the protest encampment has laid bare the stark racial disparities in homelessness and poverty. Tanya Scott says they're staying put until they get a good deal.
You will have to meet our demands. You want us going? We want housing. Simple and plain. We all want something. Let's just compromise and so we can get out your way and we can have what we want.
At the supply tent, a resident named Jesse says they're not looking for a fight.
We come in love and peace. And we got to stand for something, like I said. Black lives do matter.
For every person living here, there's a story. Jose Alicia sits smoking and listening to the radio.
This ain't fun. You know how uncomfortable it is to change clothes in here? People walk by and go, oh my God, that's a big tent. Yeah, big until you gotta stand up and change your pants. Let's try that one.
Alicia's path to homelessness started when he was assaulted, ended up in the hospital for 3 weeks, lost his job, lost his apartment, and then began living beneath the overpass at the convention center, an encampment that was broken up in March. He says sleeping on grass is a lot better than concrete.
But, you know, things go wrong. You got your drug addicts, you got your drunks. So there's always going to be a conflict somewhere.
Alicia says he's not going into a shelter because the workers don't treat residents with respect. And that's another demand. Fire all city workers who disrespect homeless residents. Decision-making at the camp is democratic and inclusive, which Alicia says has its downsides.
Honestly, here there's too many chiefs and no Indians. But other than that, I mean, it's awesome.
Like a lot of residents here, he loves ready access to food, water, clothing, and medical care all in one place. But he thinks the city won't tolerate the site for too much longer.
Things just don't happen because you say, hey, you know what? I want a house. It's not going to land right here.
With an empty softball field behind him, he points to the Whole Foods, catty corner to the park, and the brand new condominiums next door.
Just think about it. Look, people in condominiums, you think they want to look out their window after paying over $500,000 to see this? No. They're going to figure one way or the other to get rid of us.
The kids' t-ball and softball leagues were scheduled to start playing on the fields this week. An online petition signed by about 100 nearby neighbors urged the city to take action. Susan Phillips, WHYY News.